grandkids, welcome to a very special edition of the Stun Granny Audio. This is Eric, along with Dusty. Dusty, what's going on, mister?
Woohoo!
We are excitable, and we are excitable because we're joined by a special guest tonight. We are joined by a special guest from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We are joined, I think you're from Minneapolis, right, not St. Paul?
Yes.
We are joined by a special guest who went to WWE bragging rights this past Sunday night. We are joined by a special guest who I cannot remember if you allowed us to go by your real name or not last time you were on the show. Did you, Nathan T?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that's far too obvious. I mean, and Tim.
Jesus.
You all might remember him and know him from such message boards as pwtorch.com/members/VIP bullshit and the Stun Granny forum. Mr. Morneau, Mr. Maurer, Nathan Tim, how are you tonight?
I am doing well. How are you, gentlemen?
Couldn't be better.
Well, you know, we're excellent.
We're all dealing with the same storm that you are, Mr. Maurer. How's the weather up there?
There's a lot of wind.
Yes.
Yeah, same here. Nothing really happening but wind.
I literally heard on NPR, if for those of you who don't know, the upper Midwest is being rocked by some weird storm that's causing mostly wind, possibly a couple of tornadoes, and a blizzard in South Dakota. But I also heard on NPR today that a roof blew off a barn in Wisconsin, and that was all they said about it.
Yes, that's all I heard about it, but that's fascinating to me. That's going to cost a lot of fucking money to replace.
Who's the governor in that state?
It's up in the air. Doyle quit. Doyle's on the way out, so there's an election to fill the open seat.
Good Lord. Well, that guy's got a lot in his hands because he got a roof to repair here in a couple of days.
That's right.
That roof is in a state of emergency. So, Maurer, you're just dealing with wind right now?
Yes, there is probably all a good 50-mile-an-hour sustained wind right now.
Really? Jeez. That sucks. Sustained is bad.
Yeah.
At least that's what the meteorologist
is good.
Hey, speaking of the opposite of good, let's talk about WWE bragging rights.
I just want to real quick say something here.
Yes.
When we rate pay-per-views, we actually rate them based on what we think about them and don't create a sliding scale. Because if you created a sliding scale to favor one promotion or give them some kind of unnatural boost, you're probably a ballless, gutless prick who doesn't know anything about wrestling. So, I just wanted to, preface it.
Good call. Oh, actually, before we get into bragging rights, I did have a few questions, and Dusty, I think you had some too, for Mr. Morneau here. My first question for you is, what race are you? Are you white or are you black?
White.
Okay. When you're showering or bathing, do you use a washcloth?
No.
Whoa.
Really? Okay, well, that fits along the racial lines we found out this week, that almost all black people use a washcloth and almost all white people do not. However, I do.
And so do I.
Yes, yes. So the washcloth is the official cloth of StuntGranny.com.
The touch, the feel of cotton.
I don't understand. How can you get clean without a washcloth?
That's a question for Morneau. How do you do it?
Well, it depends. Do you use soap?
Yes.
Hmm.
I lather the soap up real good onto the washcloth.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
Huh. That's a unique concept.
I use a second layer because I use a hair and body shampoo. And so I kind of scrub with the hair and body shampoo, too, to get a second layer clean.
Nice.
So, yeah, I got two different elements working, but I absolutely use a washcloth every time.
Yep, same here. So, Morneau, do you just use the bar of soap, like, right on yourself?
Yes.
Okay. You see, we have to account for the possibility of a loofah in these statistics gatherings.
Is that the same thing, basically, as a washcloth? It serves the same purpose, I'm imagining.
Here's my opinion, and then, Maurer, I'll ask yours. People who use loofahs will say no because they're snobby. People who use washcloths might say no because they think people who use loofahs are snobby.
Mm-hmm.
So then the third party is the group that uses neither. Mr. Maurer, what do you think? Is a loofah the same as a washcloth?
Sure.
Yeah, we ask the tough questions here on the audio.
You know, we could talk about Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler, but really, we're here to talk about washing yourself and how you do it.
We could talk about how Miami is 0-1 now.
The curse worked.
Yes. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, a local Cleveland radio show host hired a voodoo doctor, a witch doctor, and put a curse on LeBron James live on the air, apparently, this morning. And, so far the curse has worked. Miami's 0-1. So.
That's funny. Now, Kevin Garnett used to be a Timberwolf, right?
Yes.
Mr. Morneau, would anybody, when I know that there wasn't as much hubbub and hullabaloo, fervor, and other things like that surrounding Kevin Garnett going to the Boston Celtics. Would somebody from K-Fan, can you imagine a ballless prick who knows nothing about his chosen profession, who works on the radio, possibly on K-Fan, hiring a voodoo priest like Papa Shango to put a curse on Kevin Garnett?
Sounds like something Dan Cole would do.
Dan Cole? Nice. I'm glad that you could specify somebody. That makes me feel a lot better about Dan Cole.
Yeah, right? Kevin Garnett plays with such an intensity. He has this, like, this angry look on his face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just
always has.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, his last year in Minnesota, he was pissed. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Just so frustrated.
He plays with such intensity that he often rolls his ankle and injures other body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then has to sit out a great amount of the season. Jackass. Do we have one other question regarding college football for Mr. Morneau?
I don't know. We were talking earlier off the air about the Iowa State head coach.
Yeah.
And how just looking at him makes me want to fucking run him over with a large farm tractor. But along the coach lines, who's going to coach Minnesota?
Lou Holtz. I recognize that name, and I don't even watch college football.
I honestly think he would be a good short-term solution to get the program turned around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really.
Along those same lines, the University of Miami should replace Randy Shannon with Howard Snellenberger. They should give him one last run for a couple years. I would love that.
Apparently a rumor started today where Randy Shannon's coming here.
Hmm.
Oh, well, you can have him.
Kind of similar to how Tubby Smith came here.
Right. And all the championships he won for Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The big difference is Tubby Smith, and Randy Shannon is Randy Shannon.
Well, now, hold on. If he goes to Minnesota, Minnesota's going to get intimidated by going to Duke and having to walk 150 yards across the track before playing the game.
Is that how
that
guy operates?
Intimidating environment there at Duke.
There, for some reason, you just saying that reminded me of something. What the fuck was Brett Favre's deal? Why did he feel the need? A football field, not counting the end zones, is only 100 yards. Why did he feel the need to walk 150 yards back and forth on the fucking field after he lost a game?
You don't want me to answer that question with Morneau on the air.
Oh, come on, answer it.
Because it's always all about him. Because as long as he can get the cameras on him and people talking about him, he's going to do it.
Well, as long
as
as long as they're talking about him and not Brad Childress, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, that team is in total disarray right now.
Oh, it is.
Just total disarray right now, and something needs to change or else the season's just done for. So,
you mean it's not already done for?
Yeah, well, it pretty much is.
Yeah.
I mean, this season, every team is almost exactly the same, and being 2-4 just puts you at such a disadvantage.
Yeah.
You're going to have
a
whole lot of 8-8 teams. You know,
yeah, and one or two might make the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Well, for sure on the West, for sure the NFC West.
It's like college football. Where I was going to say a 6-6 team can get a bowl. If we want to get into wrestling.
Speaking of bowl games, before we move on to wrestling.
Yeah.
The Gophers are actually the first team eliminated from bowl contention.
Oh, jeez.
Out of how many teams? Aren't there like 100?
Yeah. But they're the first officially eliminated.
Wow. Actually, I wasn't even going to quite move into wrestling yet. That reminds me, or that actually plays into what I was going to say. Is this a new bowl game? I just read that there's a Little Caesars Pizza Bowl.
Wow.
Man, I think they played that one last year.
Yeah, that might be 1 year old.
Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing. There should be a stunt granny bowl. We should when we start running out of space on our server, we should burn all of our old audios onto CDs and make enough for everybody on a football team. Winning team gets stunt granny compilation CD. And I think there should be a Hold for Swank bowl too. The losers have to watch us in concert.
Oh my god. That's terrible. Shouldn't the Hold for Swank Bowl be Iowa State?
Nah, it should be more like Iowa Central Community College versus itself.
Okay.
Versus the local prison.
Alright.
It'll be like an even more white trash longest yard.
Yep.
But
well,
speaking of live events,
I'm glad we're talking about football because the Viking game aired straight up against the pay per view. So
yes, it did.
That's
that actually brings up a good point. So let's talk about the pay per view and let's focus on the live experience of the pay per view. And I'll lead into this discussion with this thought if I haven't shared it with everybody yet. About 4 or 5 days before the pay-per-view, I went to Ticketmaster to see how tickets were selling, and I shit you not, there were front row seats still available.
Wow.
Front row. And I'm talking like, I don't mean like ringside. When I say that, I don't mean like, you know, they call ringside like the first 5 or 6 rows or whatever. I'm talking like those assholes that wear the neon yellow and neon pink coats.
Yes.
That front row. Like, you could lean up against the guardrail front row. So, Morneau, what was the attendance like at this pay-per-view, considering there's a huge football game, you know, whatever else was going on?
Well, I do know that they did sell a bunch of seats for $10 late in the week.
And what was the gimmick behind that?
To put asses in seats.
It wasn't like the Target Center's 10th anniversary or something silly like that.
No, it is technically the 20th anniversary season of the Target Center, but
okay,
20, I would say, because if I remember right, it holds around 12,000 for wrestling. I'd say there's maybe 1,000 empty seats scattered around.
Well, that's not bad, and they didn't tarp anything off.
Yeah, I was actually sitting probably about 30 rows behind the announcers. And the upper deck behind there was tarped off, and then the upper deck on the camera side was tarped off.
Gotcha.
But the other side, the upper deck was full.
Okay. How was the crowd, like, excitable-wise?
The crowd was into most of the show.
Okay. Well, give us some examples of what they were into.
They were into CM Punk big time.
Really? Like booing him? I got to be honest.
Cheering
with you.
Him. There was a very good CM Punk chant when he came out, and then in the middle of the match, another one started up.
Nice. I'll be honest with you, people. I was saving myself. I didn't watch the pay-per-view because I knew Morneau was going to be on the show. I didn't want to ruin the experience by watching it. So I'm getting all my information directly from Mr. Maurer here.
Research.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's some R&D, some research and development that could be done.
Did you notice, in general, were they cheering the baby faces, or was it kind of split? Because CM Punk is obviously not a baby face.
Yeah, he was the one heel that really got a good pop out of the crowd. Cena was about 50-50 like normally he is most of the time nowadays. And Edge, who I guess is more of a baby face now, got a really good pop too. Heel-wise, none of them really got cheered.
Okay. So. What did the Cena merchandise look like? Was there a sea of purple in the crowd?
No, it really wasn't a sea of purple. It was, I couldn't really notice a lot of the people who had bought shirts. I wasn't really paying attention to them.
Yeah.
So I didn't see, but I'm sure I would have noticed something like that. And they were selling like five of his shirts.
God.
The orange one, the purple one, the Attitude Adjustment John Deere wannabe one.
Mm-hmm.
So
the AWA logo one, are they still trying to squeeze that one for all it's worth?
Nope, that one wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
Which
that's
probably
the only
one
I would purchase.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, see, I would have bought the Nintendo ripoff.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's right, the old pro wrestling one. That was classic.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah. Good callback for John Cena. So, from what it sounded like, the best match of the show on pay-per-view was the opener, Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler. I guess, how would you compare that to what's been written about it, and what did you think seeing it live, and what did the live crowd think?
Well, the live crowd was just into that match the whole night, the whole 16-plus minutes it went. It was better than the match the night after on Raw. But even though that was a good match, too, I would say on the pay-per-view, I'd say 4 stars.
Nice.
Just they did a lot of chain wrestling, and, you know, they had the little about 30-second run where they kept reversing into pins left and right, and that was the crowd just ate that up.
Would you say that Dolph Ziggler is over with a live crowd?
Absolutely. He is absolutely, and you know, before that night, I wasn't really sold on him as a wrestler, but after seeing him live wrestling Daniel Bryan, I was blown away by how talented he is.
Cool.
Now, does that speak as much to his ability as it does to Daniel Bryan making him look good?
I would say it's probably a combination of both.
Okay.
Because I have seen a little bit of it in Dolph before.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So well, good. I'm just hung up on that name. I don't think he'll ever. And Dusty, I think you and I have kind of started to disagree to an extent on this point. I just don't see a name like Dolph Ziggler drawing fans. Like, his name won't draw fans. You know, man. But if he can overcome it, then great.
When did I disagree with you on that?
Well, I thought we had a discussion about the whole marquee test that I ripped off of Jim Cornette, and it sounded I got from that, I thought, that you didn't agree with it necessarily. Like, I think you said, why does it always have to come back to their name? But I guess, what is your opinion on that?
I hate Dolph Ziggler. Last I remember, I was beating the fuck out of him verbally. I don't remember that at all.
Gotcha. I just, again, you know, it's like Jim Cornette says, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Doink the Clown?
Yeah.
you know, he says it doesn't pass his name test, and I could never see Undertaker versus Dolph Ziggler for the winning streak, you know. But if he's got work that can overcome that stupid name, then good. I'm glad he's coming into his own.
Well, I was more concerned with his character, though. It's always been my main criticism of him. It just seems very one-dimensional. Maybe that's not the case anymore. I haven't watched in the last couple weeks.
Can you talk more to that?
Yeah, well, he still is sort of one-dimensional. I mean, the gimmick itself hasn't changed, but he doesn't talk a ton because he has Vicky Guerrero with him.
Right. You
know, the day they split up might make him a superstar, though. it really might.
It's going to be a make-or-break point for him, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't work for Eric Escobar. Oh, Florida Championship.
I had forgotten about him.
Yeah, I shouldn't bring up old shit, sorry. Well, run us through the rest of the card, and I don't know if, Dusty, you've got it pulled up or not. I'm actually sitting in my car after running to get groceries. So I sure do.
16 minutes, and Daniel Bryan wins by submission, and then we go into the second match. Very weird that John Cena's in the second match, teaming with David Otunga, of all people, against Dashing Cody and Dynamic Drew.
What are you trying to make them the new Midnight Express?
They're the new Midnight Express. The Midnight Express Junior. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God. Dynamic Drew. That's awesome. So okay, so this is John Cena's the big match at the beginning of the show. How did the crowd take to that?
The crowd actually popped big for Cena coming out. The kid that I was at the show with, he actually thought it was going to be Justin Gabriel.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because and so it was a good surprise.
I would say it's a good surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so how does the Nexus rate live as far as the crowd reaction?
I would say they probably got booed more than anybody.
Okay. So it's working. Oh, which actually reminds me, this is probably a good point. Did you get a good idea of the age of the crowd or the average age? I mean, was it full of kids? Were there some kids?
Oh, yeah.
Kids?
There was a lot of kids there.
A lot of kids? Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
So the kids were cool with the wrestling early on and were into Cena and are into the idea of Nexus as a heel.
Yep.
And then when Nexus, or when David Otunga and John Cena win, how does the crowd react?
The crowd popped big. You know, I mean, they have something going with the Nexus gimmick. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it plays out better live than it does watching it on television.
Really?
Yeah.
I think, is there something to be said for that, Dusty? The whole gang mentality thing live?
That's interesting, yeah. I know they've been up and down as far as I could see them, you know, on TV. Some weeks they're better than others. But maybe it's just easier for the crowd to boo a gang of people.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of it psychologically.
Well, I think of things like battle royals and watching or listening to the crowd react to battle royals and big brawls, and they always seem to react, I guess, positively or loudly to those sorts of things. You know, when a big brawl breaks out, the crowd goes crazy.
I guess, like, why do you cheer your favorite sports team? I guess.
Yeah.
A group of people.
Well, you guys are the sports fans. Why do you do that?
Well, there's not really a group for them to go against, though. You know? Like, there's not like a four horsemen group for them to play off of. So.
Yeah.
Or Generation X.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please don't say that, though.
Very nice. See, you even get some psychological insight here on StuntGranny.com.
Yeah. Here's some more. Why the hell was Goldust versus Ted DiBiase on the pay-per-view?
Well, you could probably tweet Goldust and ask him, because he seems to be very active on there. In fact, that's how we knew that the match was going to happen.
Yeah,
how'd that one go over with the with you and the live crowd in Minneapolis?
You know, the crowd really wasn't into it a whole lot. I mean, they cheered when Goldust came out, a good pop for a mid-card babyface right now. And they booed Ted a little, but I think it was more of the shock that most of the people in the crowd apparently didn't know this match was coming.
They didn't really feature either of them on television that much coming up to it.
Well, they'd been on Raw for a few weeks.
Yeah.
I do feel like it's one of those things that if you haven't been watching NXT on the internet, that you probably wouldn't be like as invested in it as you would otherwise.
Well, you wouldn't have any clue who Goldust was with, for one thing.
Right, yeah. Like, who's this Russian chick?
Mm-hmm.
Why is she crying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of cool that it ended up on pay-per-view in a way.
Oh, absolutely. It was probably better than probably a good share of pay-per-view matches this year. The crowd just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
You know, I like what they've done with Goldust. They've put him with younger guys to work with in the ring to make them better.
Yeah.
I think he's perfect for that role.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dusty, how many times have I said, and you've said too, that he deserves a bigger slot than he has?
Absolutely. Just based on seniority and talent.
Yep.
He's such a guard dog.
Doing an audio.
Yep.
Say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
All right.
Well, the people say hello back.
Hello.
Awesome. So,
hey, the Heat
then,
lost.
Really?
Yeah, all that money they spent. Anyway.
So, and then Ted DiBiase, does anybody care about him?
Yeah, he got booed when he came to the ring, but there was no Ted sucks chance or anything during the match.
Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about this for, almost a year now. They've, you know, obviously fumbled around with him and Cody Rhodes for however long in the legacy. Yeah. And it's like, and watching him try to cut promos is kind of an exercise in futility. Like, it's not going to get better anytime soon.
Well, they stunted his growth, is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They put him as, like, a silent partner for Randy Orton doing nothing, you know?
Yeah, yep.
So no character development, no speaking development.
Yep.
And then they just thrust him into some pushed role and expect him to do well. And it's really tone deaf.
There's
no understanding of how wrestling works at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
like,
they dropped the ball with him in the feud with Orton. They just never went anywhere with it. He could have came out of that a top-level guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And instead he was a jobber for 2 weeks, and then you can't even say he moved on. I mean, he just ended up somewhere else, which is basically at the bottom
down
of the garbage.
If anything.
Yeah, oh yeah. And
well,
you talk about a one-dimensional guy. I mean, sorry, just a thought here. Dolph Ziggler's one-dimensional. Ted DiBiase's one-dimensional. He can't even get over with Maurice as a love interest. Give me a break. So, that's a Ted DiBiase rant. That's
well,
what you get for showing up on the
paper.
Mm-hmm.
Another total sign of desperation. Put him with Maurice and hope that works, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what the hell to do with him, you know?
Keep putting lipstick on this pig.
Yeah.
Well, if anything, they can put him with Cena next and call him the Marines.
Oh, God.
Hey!
From WWE Special Forces.
Firebreaker Ted.
Yeah, and John Champion. Good Lord. Well, what happened next on the show?
What the hell is a firebreaker, by the way?
Yeah, that's a question.
How do you break fire?
That is definitely a question that's been asked throughout the ages. and we'll probably never have a sufficient answer.
Because of the amount of times that I've seen Halloween Havoc 91, I have Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko's theme music in my head now.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway. It is that time of year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a spooktacular time of year.
Spooktacular, my God. So what was next on the show?
Next match was the Divas title, I guess. Divas match, Michelle McCool versus Natalya.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
I don't give two hoots and a holler about women's wrestling, but go ahead.
Yeah, Eric just basically said the whole match in a nutshell.
So. Oh, Lord. How many times did you go to the bathroom in that 4 minutes?
I think I actually sat there for the whole 4 minutes looking the other way.
Wow.
Was that in protest or because your jacket flipped off the back of the chair?
I think that was because the guy behind me was talking about the Packers taking the lead.
Oh. Awesome. That's great. Well, moving on. And let's see, this happened the night after the UFC pay-per-view, which was attended by Undertaker and his lovely bride, Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she had other things on her mind, too, even though she successfully defended her ladies' belt.
Oh, let me go back to the last match for a minute. There was
sure.
a point during the match, they had the big bragging rights trophy right in front of the announce table. I just happened to actually be looking at the ring at that point, and Michelle was checking her hair in the cup.
Nice. Yeah.
That's funny.
Nice. Awesome heel move.
That's great.
But nobody in the crowd picked up on it. I don't know if it was on TV or not, but...
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
See, there are little nuggets of positive things that come out of this whole lay cool thing.
I enjoy the gimmick. It's actually better done than the Beautiful People right now. So.
Now, yeah, it's like they swapped places or something.
Yeah, the Beautiful People comes off as a cheap imitation right now.
A couple of second-rate imposters.
Who need their butts kicked and their teeth kicked down their throats.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Fantastic. Oh, my God. Well, moving on from The Undertaker's wife, what happened next?
Well, do you think The Undertaker was distracted by his showdown against Brock Lesnar the night before? Did that play a role in the Buried Alive match against Kane?
Yeah, talk about that, actually, Morneau. You're from Brock Lesnar's home state. Well, the state he went to college in, anyway. What do you make of, A, Brock losing, and, B, the confrontation between Brock and Undertaker after the pay-per-view?
Well, I think the ref called the fight too soon.
Yeah.
I realized Brock was getting pummeled and he was cut, but I really think that he called it too soon.
Yeah.
As far as the confrontation after, I can't really see it actually playing into anything.
Yeah, I'm along the same lines only because of the contractual status.
I mean, if there's some way they can make it work, absolutely do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see Dana White letting Brock work for what he considers competition.
No, and especially something that's fake, predetermined,
yeah.
whatever. There's yeah. no way. I mean, Brock Lesnar's value would go down. UFC's value would probably tank. Because you know how people are. That knee-jerk reaction after seeing something on ESPN, some revelatory what am I trying to say, story on ESPN, ooh, pro wrestling's fake, and Santa Claus isn't real either.
Yeah,
and now Brock Lesnar's associated with it? Wow, the whole sport's in shambles.
Yeah.
Well, what if Brock loses to The Undertaker, you know?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And at WrestleMania, he's going to lose to The Undertaker.
Yeah.
There's just no doubt about that.
Is this a prediction, or is this firsthand knowledge? What's going on here? What just happened?
Well, it's not the match is not going to happen, but we all know The Undertaker is not going to lose at WrestleMania.
Right.
Right. So then ESPN.com, in all their infinite wisdom, will be like Brock Lesnar and the script that he went by and losing to the fake wrestler, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all that crap. And UFC takes a huge hit. So
yeah. What if ESPN did take it seriously and Brock Lesnar hit Undertaker with a shovel on SmackDown, and then the next day you read on ESPN, Lesnar hits Taker with shovel, Taker iffy for WrestleMania.
Yes! Yes, I knew it was coming! Yes.
So he would be questionable.
Yeah, there'd be a Q next to his name.
Yeah.
On your fantasy WrestleMania roster.
Yeah, if he was on your fantasy roster, he would have one of those little folder things by his name where you click it and find out he's hurt. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brock would have the little post-it note because it would just be a piece of news, but Undertaker would have a post-it note with a little red thing coming out of it to show that it's serious.
Yeah.
We're going to find out how iffy he is by clicking on the little yellow box.
Yeah. Mauer, you probably don't know this, but ESPN had two headlines running at the same time calling different people iffy. Yeah.
Wow.
Usually not what you want to do in journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, next on the pay-per-view.
Okay, let me get it back
We haven't even actually talked about it. Yeah, let's actually talk about Kane and Undertaker.
The actual match, Kane and the Undertaker. Kane won. He is still the champion.
Yes, that was a very the crowd was into the match until the finish, and they really crapped on the finish, which, honestly, I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you have it's pretty much if you go back to, I believe it was Royal Rumble, Yokozuna versus Taker in a casket match, when it took 12 people to put him in the casket.
Yeah, it sure did.
Basically the same thing with Nexus coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then
what does that say about was Nexus? Okay, you talked about Nexus getting roundly booed earlier in the show. So are we talking the crowd shit on like the Nexus interference or the special effects stuff afterwards?
No, it was on the interference.
Okay.
And I think it was just as much for Taker losing, because I think everybody thought Taker was going to win the match.
Okay.
Yeah, they seem to be stringing that one along. Slow build for the title change. I'm proud of the restraint, actually.
Yeah, this is a good feud.
Well, what happened was that apparently he has to have shoulder surgery.
Uh-huh.
And they actually coming into the late in the week, he was supposed to win the belt. They changed it. They would rather have him ready for WrestleMania.
Hell yes, that's smart.
Dusty,
did we talk about this a little bit? Potential drawing cards for WrestleMania so far. If we hadn't talked about it, I meant to talk to you about it today.
Well, we talk about it every year, but we haven't talked about this year yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's seriously without Shawn Michaels around. And for whatever Batista was worth, he's gone. I mean, it's Cena, it's Orton, it's Triple H, and it's Undertaker.
Yep.
And without Undertaker, you're in a serious problem. At this point, you give Undertaker 364 days off if it means he can be there for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Sure. So the crowd pretty much shit on the finish of the match, though.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
The special effects, it was just pretty much quiet in the arena. They just kind of looked at it. It's like, okay, this is stupid.
Well, with a bunch of kids in the crowd, I imagine it was just like, okay, you know, roll your eyes and get it over with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone tried to call it a hushed silence over the crowd. Actually, WWE should go back through their footage of, like, 1991, when Undertaker was a heel back then, and find shots of kids in the crowd who were scared of him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And just splice them in during the live event.
Man, they had something there with the old Undertaker. That was amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love seeing those scared looks on those kids' faces.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what do we got next?
Well, the next matchup was Team Raw against Team SmackDown for the bragging rights championship.
It slices, it dices, it doubles as a mirror for Michelle McCool.
And more watered down for the Survivor Series, by the way, which means about Jack Zero right now.
Yeah, that's stupid timing. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Vince McMahon tells us months ago that Survivor Series has no worth.
Yeah.
There is criticism for that, and they bring the show back, only to have an elimination tag team match at the pay-per-view before the pay-per-view,
yep.
With the purpose of which is to have elimination tag matches.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, people love a good elimination tag match, and it sounded like this one was pretty darn good. Maurer, what do you say?
The crowd was into pretty much the whole match. The best part was during the introductions when R-Truth came out, there was no reaction.
Nice.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Is he coming out to his new theme music about getting crunk?
Yes.
That's part of the problem.
I mean, it was so quiet you could have heard a pin drop twice.
Wait,
Eric,
can I say again? What kind of music is that? What kind of?
Is that hip hop music?
Well, no, getting what?
Oh, getting crunk.
Yes. Okay. There we go.
See, the only thing is, you're not clueless and old. You are not Paul Rudd. I said you're not clueless and old.
What?
I said you're not clueless and old.
Okay.
That's right. You are not Paul Rose. Bastard.
Sorry. Anyway.
That's awesome.
What a hodgepodge of teams in this match.
It was. Remind us who the teams were.
All right, well, I got it right here in front of me. The team captains, Miz for Raw, and his team was CM Punk, John Morrison, freaking Ezekiel Jackson, just back from injury, Santino, R-Truth, and Sheamus. So that was that weird assemblage. And then for SmackDown, it was Big Show as the team captain, and he had Edge, Mysterio, Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston, Alberto, and Tyler Rex, of all people.
Now, Maurer, let me ask you this. Did you buy your ticket before or after Tyler Rex was added to Team SmackDown?
I didn't pay for my ticket.
Did you obtain your ticket before or after Tyler Rex was added to SmackDown's team?
It would have been the day they went on sale.
Okay. Had you spent money on this ticket, would you have been upset that Tyler Rex was added to Team SmackDown?
Indifferent.
Indifferent, okay. I suppose the rest of the card probably waited out, right?
Yeah, I was just happy to see Daniel Bryan and CM Punk live.
Yeah, good call. So Tyler Rex, you know, he can tweet about his success later on.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine the response he gets from most people is more coma than like or hate. So
he got a little bit more reaction than R-Truth.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
He got like 10 boos.
10 boos. Yeah, some boos, some catcalls. Anyway. So there was a period of this match where there were a lot of eliminations, and that's kind of another thing that crowds seemed to like. How did that play out in the Target Center?
That was the crowd really enjoyed that. They liked it when the eliminations were quick. Or there was actually another spot in the match, and I'm trying to find it here. I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe Morrison and Kofi, I think, where they went back and forth, kind of like Daniel Bryan and Dolph did, where they did the consecutive pin attempts.
Yep.
And the crowd just ate that up. They just loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the good amount of applause right after it too.
Okay, good.
Live crowds seem to eat Morrison up. Is that accurate?
Yes, he is very popular.
Yep. Cool.
Well, good. That's good. I've got my complaints about the guy, but if he's getting over, then, maybe I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, so it was an energizing match for the crowd. Jason Powell, I think, called it dumb fun or something like that. You know, really?
Perfect description. It was
Adam
Sandler movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because really, how consequential is this match in the scheme of things?
On a scale of 1 to 10, -5.
Yep. Yep. And remind me again, Edge and Rey Mysterio were the winners, right?
Yes.
They were the sole survivors.
There you go. So what are they going to, like, walk around with the trophy? Are they going to, are they going to treat it like a tag team belt? No.
Well, it was funny. During the post-match celebration, Edge hoists the cup, Rey hoists the cup, and then Edge hands it to Hornswoggle, who promptly falls over with the cup in his arms.
No.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And he can't get up.
Championship winning comedy right there.
Yeah. And then Edge kind of reaches down and pushes down on the cup with Hornswoggle under it.
Oh, Lord. And somewhere in Vince McMahon's brain, a toilet flushes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
The highlight of the match was when Alberto Del Rio threw Rey Mysterio into the guardrail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had already been arguing, and he just took Rey and launched him into the guardrail, and Rey left, and then when Alberto got eliminated, he came back and hit him from behind and got back in the match.
Okay. How's Alberto's reaction?
He got booed, not as much as the Nexus, but not too far off.
Okay, so he ranked.
So would
up
he
there.
Be
They're
second
doing...
on the heat scale?
I would put him at about a 7.
Okay.
He got very good heat.
Good. That's good. It seems like they're doing all the right things with him on SmackDown. An injury angle with Christian, feud with Rey Mysterio. You know, he's obviously worth the time they're investing in him. He's a fucking great wrestler. He's a proven commodity. Not in America, but he's still a proven commodity. So,
yeah.
Good. I kind of, I don't want to jump the gun too far, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him pull out a Money in the Bank win at WrestleMania.
I would think that's accurate.
Yeah, he very well could.
He could. Cool. So, fun match for everybody with little to no consequence whatsoever.
Yeah. SmackDown has bragging rights again.
SmackDown wins all these matches, though, and they never have anything to show for it. They always win the Royal Rumble. They always win the, I think Batista versus Umaga at WrestleMania in Orlando. I'm pretty sure Batista was on SmackDown for a cup of coffee, and he won that match. But they're always trying to throw SmackDown these bones, and then... nothing ever.
And then the rest of the year, they spend all their time telling fans that SmackDown is shit.
Yep. So. Exactly.
Yeah. But SmackDown has Michael Cole now.
Yes.
Well, I like him. I shouldn't have that. See, that's my knee-jerk reaction. When I hear his name, I immediately ugh. But I got to remember. Oh yeah, I like him now.
I like him now, but he's still kind of ugh as an announcer.
Yeah.
I'd like to
terrible announcers right now. Stryker's horrible. Cole is still kind of ugh, and Lawler's cashing it in from the pay window. Terrible announcers right now.
It is pretty sad.
I think their best announcer is Scott Stanford.
I have yet to see an episode of Superstars with him, but I read somewhere that he's a throwback to the old school wrestling announcer.
Yeah, see, I haven't actually seen Superstars with them either. I remember watching him on the Free For All before the pay-per-views, and he came up as somebody that could be decent.
That's right. I forgot he did those.
That's right. Along
cool.
with Jack Corpola.
Jack Corpola. That kid reminded me, this is the strangest reference I maybe have ever made on Stunt Granny Audio, and that's saying something. Scott Corpella looks like Brad from Home Improvement's friend when they started to get older and they were throwing parties
yes.
at the house.
Yes. Yes, he
that's
does.
His,
that's amazing.
That guy. Yeah. I seriously went to IMDb the first time I saw Jack Corpella, and I'm like, is that the kid from Home Improvement? Is that the friend? But it's not.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. So anyway, bizarre reference. I believe there's only one match left on the show.
There's only one match left, and it's for the heavyweight title of the world, the Undisputed Championship. We're talking about Randy Orton and Wade Barrett. John Cena at his side.
Yes. So another showing, another John Cena entrance. You know, I'm assuming
well,
it was the Wade Barrett theme.
No, Cena did not get his own entrance for that match.
Yep, okay. Which means that he didn't get the pop, probably.
Yeah, there was really no pop for... They were booing Barrett, and I don't think half the people even noticed Cena was behind him.
Ah, interesting. But, you know, what do you do in that position when you're in the live crowd? You know, you can't cheer one person because he's walking behind the person who's you're trying to boo. And...
Right.
As long as it didn't muddy the reaction too much and ruin everything for Barrett.
No, it didn't at all.
Okay. And talk to me about Randy Orton, because I still just don't get it. To me, he's not a babyface. And Dusty, can you back me up on that?
He's an Austin-esque babyface.
Uh-huh.
With
Without
no heart,
the charisma. He doesn't have the microphone skills.
No.
God,
but
no.
He
is terrible
he is definitely...
on the microphone.
That's why he doesn't talk. That's why he slithers around.
Yeah. Well, he's the Viper.
Yeah. He sure
is. I think
is.
They need to be more visionary than that.
Nice.
What I did there, did you see it?
Yeah. I do. Well, Jake didn't see it.
Oh, shit.
Nice. So, yeah, Orton. Well, how's Orton with the live crowd?
Orton probably got the loudest pop of the night.
Wow.
And I don't think that's much of a shock, really.
Yeah, I guess he really didn't have much competition besides Cena, who's still getting the mixed reaction.
Yeah.
So, match quality-wise, how do you rate this one?
I would say it's Barrett's best match to date.
Okay.
But most of his matches haven't been that long, either.
Right.
So, but I was impressed. You know, I've been impressed all the matches I've seen him in, but I was really impressed by this one.
Did he look like he was ready to main event a pay-per-view?
Absolutely.
Good.
He fit in just fine.
Good. Good to hear.
I always thought he carried himself like he belonged.
Absolutely does. You know, in my opinion, he's getting the push that William Regal should have got a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think he's very much like Regal, work-wise in the ring, on the microphone.
I could see that.
And now I'm just imagining Wade Barrett with a sleeveless flannel shirt and a yellow hard hat.
No.
And a cup of tea from Jericho?
Oh, yeah, the tea. Yeah. Spot of tea. Yeah. Wade, no, I'm glad that Wade Barrett's in the spot that he's in, and you're right. He looks like he belongs in that spot.
No one else from Nexus really has that same oomph that he does, so it's nice that he's in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Otunga trying to cut a promo last night on Raw and just like, you think I'm okay with what you're doing? That's just what he sounds like when he cuts a promo to me.
He stumbles over words more than he stumbles over people in the ring.
Oh. Nice.
Wow.
I think he and Molina went to the same acting classes.
Oh, shit.
You think that I care about something, something, a la 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 la, and then a tunga. You're me, tell the world why we attack the Undertaker.
Oh.
Give me a fucking break.
Have you ever seen Molina and Otunga together?
Nice.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. No wonder Otunga's growing his hair out, so he can put those extensions in it.
That's right.
That explains a lot. So we have a main event of a pay-per-view with a DQ finish. How did the crowd react to that one?
The crowd booed it heavily until Orton was announced as retaining the title because of the disqualification.
Yeah.
And then they totally went to crazy cheers, and then Barrett hit the RKO on him, or Orton hit the RKO on Barrett, and the crowd just went nuts for that.
Yep. There you go.
Really, that's the only way they could save it.
Oh, yeah. And that's always been the gimmick. You know, still the World Wrestling Federation champion, so-and-so babyface. So,
yeah.
You know, just so you get that final pop from the crowd.
Yep.
How many approximately, I know I've asked you this before too, so it's whatever you said before plus this one. How many WWE events have you been to in your lifetime?
I couldn't even tell.
It's
probably 10 or 12.
Okay.
This was my third pay-per-view.
Third pay-per-view. Now, you've been to SummerSlam 99. We've discussed that one.
Yep, and Judgment Day, I believe, 05.
And so live experience-wise, whether it be a house show, a pay-per-view, a TV taping, where would you rank this show on your personal scale?
I'd say one of the top five.
Okay.
Maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it a 7 or 8 because the crowd was really into the show.
That's good. Surprising to hear because of the football game going on, but good, good.
It sounds like a relatively smart crowd, too.
Yes.
Not just blindly cheer Cena, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they were, like I said earlier, they broke into a couple loud CM Punk chants.
Nice.
As well they should.
And a couple times during the show, you'd have dueling chants for wrestlers. You know, during the main event, there was a Cena sucks, let's go Orton chant that got going.
Okay.
Even though Cena wasn't in the match, but it made sense.
Definitely.
Well, that goes back to what Eric was saying. There's only about 4 people who are really, truly over at the top level, so definitely makes sense in that context.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think come WrestleMania time, Punk and Edge will be up there too.
Okay.
I hope so for Edge's sake because they've fumbled with him so badly since he made his comeback at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
The Royal Fumble?
What?
And another guy I know this should go without saying, but I'm hoping Miz is up there somewhere.
I hope they hold that money in the bank until WrestleMania.
That would be fantastic.
I really do. Have them cash it in that night.
When I hear crowds chant, Miz is awesome, it just warms my heart.
Well,
it excites me for the possibilities.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Just ask him.
There is no better talker in the company right now than him.
If I really had to think about it, I'd have a hard time thinking of who's a better talker. I mean, maybe Edge. What's that?
Punk. That's the only competition.
Yeah. Punk would be the closest.
Yep, there you go. So, here's hoping for big things out of those two. I like the fact that they're on the same team. Team Raw.
Yeah.
And I just like the fact
with
that
Santino, I get Santino, who they team with all the time.
That's right, yeah. It made perfect sense.
Oh,
boy. All right. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of what else we need to
inquire about when it comes to the live show experience. Target Center is still a nice venue.
Yes, that's it. This was actually the first time I've been in there since they redid the seats.
Oh, how? What's new about them?
They used to be red. Now they're green and black.
Oh, okay.
They changed it from Target colors to Timberwolves colors.
Okay. That's cool.
Are the Timberwolves taking over that town? Because didn't they also buy that billboard right next to the Twins Stadium?
You mean the one that's on the backside of Target Center?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the ugliest thing I have ever seen.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
Nice.
It's just absolutely ridiculous that they put that up there.
Billboard iffy for advertising.
Now, and as a correlation to that, explain why the Timberwolves are taking over the city in such a way when they are the most embarrassing NBA franchise I can think of right now. They make the Clippers look like the Lakers.
Well, maybe if we had an NFL team here, they wouldn't be.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Well played.
I think if you get a real NFL head coach and put Tavares Jackson in and run like a college style, like a Michigan style offense, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Well, what they need to do is hire Leslie Frazier right now and fire Childress.
To keep Frazier from going to. Mm-hmm.
Keep him from going to the golfers.
Yeah, because he will too.
Yeah, he actually went to them with the interest. So that tells me he wants to get away from Childress, too.
The team is a total mess. I don't think any of the players like him.
Well, after his press conference after the game, they shouldn't.
Right. Exactly. Interesting what's going on in Minnesota.
It is. Surprisingly interesting state. If you people didn't know that, then you're missing out.
Here's one more little nugget. When I was going to school in St. Cloud, Timberwolves traded Wally Szczerbiak. Everyone was heartbroken. Everyone I talked to, teachers, students, they were all heartbroken. Ooh, really miss Wally. Interesting state Minnesota is.
I thought you were going to say everyone was heartbroken, except Wally Szczerbiak.
Blow that pop stamp.
All right. Well, before we insult your popsicle stand too much more, Mr. Morneau, any other closing thoughts about the pay-per-view?
No, that's about it.
Any invitations to come up to Minneapolis and the Twin Cities?
Anytime. Just buy me beer.
Awesome. Fantastic. Cool. Dusty, anything else you can think of?
Not really. I'm just upset about cop-out finishes and saturating Survivor Series.
Those would be the
two main points I would make.
Good points, indeed.
These stupid little things, but overall, the pay-per-view itself sounded good, and I guess that's kind of WWE's bag. You just go from one thing to the next with no real context. That seems to be how wrestling works now.
Yeah, it's sad. Jesus, what was it was two pay-per-views ago, I think, or maybe three, that just came out on DVD, and I read about it on .net, and Powell was like, yeah, for those of you who don't remember, the main event was...
Yeah.
And I can't even lie to you, I don't remember what the main event was, and I just read that like 2 days ago. So, yeah, again, no consequence. But, you know, if you can have fun while you're watching it, then I suppose that's a good thing for everybody.
Sure. Yep.
Yep.
There you go. Well, cool. Mr. Morneau, Mr. Maurer, I hope you don't mind that I called you 17 different things during the show. Mr. T.
Just whatever you do, don't call me Shirley.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, my mom would be really upset by that.
That's exactly right. Well, thanks for being on the show, man. We're glad that you're excited to do it, and we're glad that you keep going to live shows up in Minneapolis.
Thank you for having me. I have one more comment before I depart the airwaves.
Yes.
I'd like to wish a happy birthday to Phil Brooks.
Hey, that's right. He turned 32 today.
Nice.
Excellent. Good news. All right. Well, let's see. Since Kevin's not here to be straight edge, then I'm going to go ahead and sign off. So there you go. That's all I got for you. Dusty, what do you have to say to wind this up?
All right. Well, for Mr. Maurer, Mr. Morneau, for Philip Jack Brooks, for Washcloths and Soap Bars, I am Dusty Giebink, and this has been Stunt Granny Audio Bragging Rights Recap, and we'll try to do better next time.